Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Luke Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate the support. We can't do it without you. Have you rated the show? I know I'm going on and on about this, but I have been told that it is a huge deal for the algorithm. So if it's not too much trouble to ask you to scroll down to the bottom of your player for like 5 seconds and give me a 5-star review and write a little bit of a review if you think I've earned it. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Hey, the audiobook for The Octopus of Global Control is now available. Do you have it? Have you gotten it? It's 23 hours of Graham Dunlop from Grimerica in your ear with that sweet, sweet Canadian accent, but you're going to love it. And if you have issues with it, you can direct your complaints to him. Not me. You're like, he's talking about Sandy Hook. You can't have that, right? Oh, well, and direct your complaints towards the Grimerica crew. No, they did a fantastic job on it. It's available everywhere. If you've got Audible or Spotify, you can get it there. If you've got Amazon, it's available on iTunes. And then Spotify has a new thing. It syndicates it out everywhere. So if you're on some lesser known audiobook platform, take a look there. You'll probably find it. It should be everywhere. The Octopus of Global Control. I wrote it in 2017. It is finally out as an audiobook. Read by a human being too, and a great one at that. So check it out. Listen, it's 23 hours of insanity. I mean, do you have a long trip? Are you planning to go somewhere? Well, there you go. You've got that. Hey, also thanks to our sponsors. I appreciate you guys sitting through the ad reads because I know you want to get to the info. My sponsors make this show happen. So the least I can do is find sponsors that make sense, that are running amazing companies that actually help us, right? So Chemical Free Body's doing that. They make great supplements. I take them every morning, Green 85. I'm not kidding. Every single morning for like 4 years now. And it looks gross. It tastes pretty good. It tastes a lot better than it looks. And it'll help you out. If you're somebody that is having trouble with your health, there's nothing worse than feeling sick. You'd trade anything to not feel that way. Be preventative, right? Take some proactive measures. Get control of this. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. Read up about it. See what you think. Listen to Tim James' podcast too. If you're interested in getting some free health tips that way. And if you find something you like, the discount code on your way out is macro. So, and also Legal Shield. They've been doing this for, I don't know, 50 years in the United States and Canada. That's a long time. They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They'll get you access to a high-powered attorney in your area for a very reasonable price, $30 a month. It's like a subscription service for a lawyer, right? Except you can do all kinds of things with this. You can have them create legal documents for you. You can have them review contracts for you. You can have them go to work on speeding tickets or red light tickets or parking tickets or whatever you've got. You have got the power of an attorney with, on average, 22 years of experience that you can just access through your an app on your cell phone. It's really about that easy. I'll tell you what, go to the website that they built specifically for us, read about it, see what you think. If it's right for you, you know what to do. The website is don'tgetpushedaround.com. And if you look in the show notes, you'll find it there too. If you need to, if you're driving around, you don't have time to write it down. That's cool. Just find it in the show notes. Don'tgetpushedaround.com will get you to our website for Legal Shield. And you'll be glad you found it. You'll get a lot of value out of this. I mean, in a world where everything costs three times as much and is, you know, and they've changed the packaging, it's shrinkflation. Legal Shield, to their credit, hasn't shrinkflated anything, right? It's still $30. It's still $1 a day to get you access to an attorney. So if you're in the market, don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to go. Well, I knew they were selling, they were moving into a new phase of selling the climate scam when I saw them doing the fake arrest of Greta Thunberg with her tits out, right? Am I going to hell for calling it autist tits? Am I going to hell for that? That's fine. I'll see the rest of you savages there. Save me a seat. But listen, when they roll Greta out like that and you're supposed to go, would that's not good. It's not good for climate, right? It means that the messaging has failed. It means that the content is irrelevant. It means that what they want you to do is just focus on this poor kid who's been weaponized and brainwashed. And, you know, I mean, she was already sort of, I think she means well. I mean, I think if you were to catch her, I think she really wants what's best for the planet. And we all do, right? I mean, that's the thing. When I talk about this, is going to be about selling the climate hoax. And listen, I mean, full disclosure, I live on this planet too. I feel like it must be said. I'm not recording this on Pluto or anything like that. I have to live on this planet. So it is in my vested interest to make sure that this planet is sustainable and doesn't die from climate change or too much carbon in the atmosphere. So I care about this too. I'm not some, you know, guy driving around, you know, turning all of my air conditioning on and leaving the windows open and saying, fuck Mother Nature. I hate all this stuff. I want to burn it. I'm not doing any of that, right? I'm a reasonable person. I make decisions based on energy usage, frankly, because of the price. You know, I don't leave lights on. If I'm not going to be at home, I'll turn the lights on off. You know what I mean? So that they're not on while I'm gone, right? So things like that, reasonable. But I'm not going to be out there pretending to, you know, save the internet or save the world. I was looking at a message that said the internet was acting funny. I'm not going to be out there trying to save the climate. I'm not going to be out there trying to save the polar bears. They're skinny polar bears. You see them. They're floating away on those little ice sheets, right? They're all skinny and they haven't eaten. And won't you save the polar bears? That's emotional manipulation. That's horse shit. Okay. Those polar bears are just fine out there. And the first climate scientist that goes out there to investigate those skinny polar bears is going to become lunch. Okay. So the polar bears are fine. The climate is fine. Pollution is a bit of a problem, but that's not climate change. And that's been the sales pitch, right? They have hijacked all of the things that you emotionally connect with pollution. They show you dirty rivers and they show you dirty oceans and they show, you know, factories that are just belching smoke and all this stuff. And they go, won't you help stop climate change? That's not climate change. That's pollution. That's a totally different animal. But what they want you to do, see, pollution is real and measurable, quantifiable, visible. You can taste it. If you're in LA, like I was for 25 years, you can taste the pollution when you get there. It's a thing. Climate change is fake, probably gay, and definitely needs to be manipulated, right? So they have to create this entire story for it because it's not real. It's just not real. It's not a real thing. And the climate scientists that are out there, well, I've studied the data, the data. Oh, you mean the trust the science data? That Listen, it is as easy to buy a climate scientist as it is to buy a virologist. Maybe even easier, because they need the money. So anybody that's out there is, I've been going through this data for 30 years and I've got all the data. Your data is horse shit. It's garbage, okay? It's not good data. You're working off of flawed source material that was given to you by the United Nations, that was put out there by the Club of Rome, that was circulated by all the globalist think tanks that want you to believe that there is yet another invisible enemy coming to kill you, like terrorists or COVID or carbon dioxide. It's always invisible. You're supposed to be terrified of it. You'll never actually see it, but the government and the media tells you it's there and you have to be scared. Never met anybody from Al-Qaeda. Never come into my line of thought, right? Never got COVID. I'm fine. I was promised a winter of death. I was told there would be bodies stacked up on the sidewalk. Where are they? I mean, it's happening now from the vaccines, of course, but 17 million and counting worldwide, but not from COVID. Another invisible enemy, right? And carbon dioxide is the same thing. It's the same scam. And they've got, one of the things I want to talk about in this one is that there is a new person who is on the scene. And you may not have heard of her. We're going to get to her a little bit later. You'll recognize the name. You'll recognize the last name for sure. But she's the new carbon climate czar, which means you can expect some nonsense. But listen, let me ask you a question. What do you think George Soros cares about in this world? Do you think George Soros cares about money, power, and control? Or do you think George Soros cares about how much carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere? I mean, honestly, maybe he's super interested in how much carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere. And I don't know George Soros personally, thank God, but I'm going to make an assumption here. And it's just my assumption, to be clear. But my guess is that George Soros doesn't give a flying fuck about the environment, right? This is a guy that is psychopathic in nature. This is a guy that sold out his own people during World War II and told 60 Minutes that he had, it was no problem to him. It was no issue. It was no problem. Like a true psychopath. I mean, this is a changeling, right? This is a guy that may or may not be a human being, okay? So why would he be so concerned with the environment that he wants to fund it? He wants to fund Greta through Open Society. He wants to be deeply involved in this. He wants to pay influencers, which is totally lame. Hey, listen, I mean, it's a lot like COVID. If we're in the middle of the Black Death, why do you have a public relations department that has to tell everybody that we're in the middle of Black Death? Except And unless we aren't, and you're trying to make it seem like it is, why do you have a bunch of influencers for climate change? I mean, if climate change was such a real thing, it would be obvious on its face. Everybody would see it every single day of their lives, and they would say, this is climate change. But they don't see it. You know why? Because it's not real. And the reason why you have to have influencers is because you're trying to create a narrative. And the sooner you can get into people's brains, the better. For the narrative, at least. So they're trying to convince people, especially young people, that the climate is coming apart at the seams and that we're all going to die. And that only through changed behavior can this be avoided. And that's really the point of it all. Because you'll find, and we'll get to this towards the end, that there's only a particular type of climate change that they're really interested in. The rest of it, they can take it or leave it. It doesn't really apply to them. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about the Climate Agenda 2030, because it's coming. I mean, the calendar says it's 2024. And so I expect that within the next couple of years, they're really going to start the push for, I mean, you think you've seen a push towards climate change. You ain't seen nothing yet. Okay. I mean, it's going to get to a point where, first of all, it's going to be around for the rest of our lives. This term climate change, it's going to be around. It is a very valuable tool for them, an invisible enemy that has to, that preys upon your goodness, right? You want what's best for this world. I want what's best too. You don't want your children or grandchildren to grow up in a world that's unsustainable for human life, right? And if you did X, Y, and Z, then that would make this, that'd just be one step closer to making sure that that didn't happen for your grandchildren, right? Who wouldn't want that? Well, the problem is that, so let me get this straight. Let me just say, okay, let's say I believe this narrative 100%. And let's say that the United Nations is in charge of a global carbon tax, which is the plan. When I pay my global carbon tax to the United Nations, are they going to get up on a big ass ladder and fix the atmosphere? Like, how is this going to work? What are you doing with the money I give you to fix the planet? Where's that? I want to see the prospectus on how you're going to, is this going to be with high altitude balloons? Are you going to put duct tape on the environment? Like, what are we talking about? Like, what there's a crack in the atmosphere up there. Are we going to get Gorilla Glue and close it? Like, please explain to me what the plan is here. Because if you're expecting us to contribute hundreds of trillions of dollars over the life of climate change, I'm going to need to know what the solution is. I'm going to need to know what your fix is. If I take my car to a mechanic to get my, you know, to get brakes put on, there's a clear path towards fixing it. I don't just take him in there and he says, well, you know, we're going to work on this car forever. No. You told me what the problem is. The problem is I need new brakes. What are you doing? Oh, I'm going to put new brake pads on, then you'll have it by 4 o'clock today. Okay, fine. That's a solution I can work with. How much is that going to cost? You tell me what it costs. I'll pay for it because I have a problem. You have a fix for it. Then we've come to a solution and now it's done. What is the solution for climate change? Please explain to me the out on this. Where's the off-ramp? When do we end it? When is it fixed, in air quotes, in your eyes? The answer is there is no finish line because there's no problem. It's manufactured. It's fake. It's invented for the purposes. I will do this. I will read this again because it simply must be read again. This is from the Club of Rome, The Limits to Growth, 1972, Aurelio Pesci. The common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behaviors that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. We believe humanity requires a common motivation, namely a common adversary, in order to realize world government. It does not matter if this common enemy is a real one or one invented for the purpose. If you hear that quote and you don't understand what the plan is, read it again. Listen to it again. This is the plan. You don't have to speculate. You don't have to ask Nostradamus. They will tell you what they're going to do. Let's talk about this Climate Agenda 2030 because multiple goals can be achieved through this. This isn't like an either or sort of thing. This isn't like you have to pick climate or you have to, pick depopulation. Why not both? Right? So, in fact, climate change is the cover story for depopulation. You won't see the depopulation side of it right away. They've got to sell the narrative first. But once the narrative is in place and the framework is operational, then you'll start to see the culling of the people that are not holding up their end of the bargain in the climate hustle, right? But you will see depopulation through intentional, catastrophic, and a hardcore leftist push into deindustrialization. That's one of the things that they talked about, right? They want to deindustrialize. I mean, they will still be industrialized. When they talk about the direction that they want to take humanity, understand this. It's the direction they want to take us, not them. They're going somewhere else. They're not getting off on this off-ramp of climate change. They're still going somewhere. They're, they, in their minds, this doesn't apply to them. They're talking about what you need to do, not what they need to do. This is why they mention things like it's only through changed attitudes and behaviors that this can be overcome. They want to change your attitude first, and they want to change your behavior second. That's it. They don't care about climate change. They don't care about carbon dioxide. They're not going to lecture carbon dioxide. They're going to lecture you, right? This is it. So these people are destroyers. You know, the leftists that want to deindustrialize everything, they don't, you know, we want to seize the means of production like you did in the Soviet Union with the Bolshevik Revolution. We're going to seize the means of production. That's great. Do you know how to work the machines once you seize them? No. Okay, well, then you know what they did in the Bolshevik Revolution? They had to bring in the American industrialists who knew how to run the machines, and then they ran the factories because in actuality, the peasants don't know anything. They just know catchy buzzwords and slogans. That's it. And you're going to get a lot of that with climate change, okay? When they start selling this, and again, you're probably going, what are you talking about? We're going to get it. We're already getting it, right? What are you talking about? At some point, you're going to... No. You have no idea how much worse it's going to get. As we get closer to 2030, and that's their benchmark, right? It's not mine, it's theirs. They've set that up as a nice round number that they're aiming towards. And they mentioned this in 1992, the first COP summit, when they set that, you know, they said Agenda 21, this is the agenda for the 21st century, and then Agenda 2030. There's also an Agenda 2050, just so you know. But Agenda 2030 is some of the particulars. So it's very vague in 92. It's a little bit more defined by 2001. It's definitely more defined now. And as we move into 2030, it's not just the United Nations pushing this. You've got the World Economic Forum. You've got the Trilateral Commission. I mean, they're all coming together. They're converging. They've picked a date. It's 2030. That's the year, right? And my assumption, and it's an assumption because I have to speculate here, but I can envision a scenario in which Trump comes in for the next 4 years and then he's done because he has to be done. And then Gavin Newsom comes in. And when Gavin Newsom comes in, he is a climate cultist of the highest order. And the reason why I say he would come in 2028, well, for a variety of reasons, but one, of course, is because you're going to need a climate cultist to run America as you march into the gulags of 2030 when they lock the climate door behind you and you can't get out. All right, so this is the direction that they're pushing this. The push is organized and being financed by the ultra-rich, highly educated, well-connected Malthusian eugenicists, right? So you have to ask the question, like, there's a bunch of really wealthy people out there. And all of a sudden, and for some reason, they're concerned about climate. Why do you think that is? Well, it could be because they live on this planet and they would like to live as long on this planet as possible. Sure. That could be the reason. That could be the reason. I don't think that's the reason, though. I think that the real reason why wealthy industrialists are involved in climate change is because it gives them two things that they always want: more money and more control, right? So if you get to a scenario where you start to see that, listen, who is talking the most about climate change? Bill Gates. Do you think Bill Gates cares about the planet? I don't. I mean, his dad ran Planned Parenthood. His dad was one of the heads of his dad was on the board of directors for Planned Parenthood in the United States. That's an American Eugenics Society. They're deeply involved with thinning the herd. Bill Gates is a spokesperson for climate change. He's talking about if we do a really good job with these vaccines, we can get that number down by about 10 or 15%. They're talking about depopulation. But what they're doing is depopulation is a dirty business, right? And it's, you know, with all the murdering and whatnot. So you can't just talk about, hey, listen, we want to kill a couple billion people because they'll lock you up, of course. So instead, what they say is we want to save everybody. We're going to save you all. You're all in great danger. You don't know it yet, but we've done you look up in the sky and you see, when you don't see chemtrails, theoretically you would see us blue sky and the sun and clouds and things like that. Oh, we see much different than that. We have probes. We have sensors that have gone up there and said, we are in a climate catastrophe. There's so much carbon dioxide and we have to save the planet. You know, ever ask yourself, like, why would you trust Bill Gates with this information, right? He's now pivoted, not that he's left vaccines, but he's now tying vaccines with climate change. So the guy who's deeply involved in depopulation, whose family is, who's partnered with the United Nations, who was started by a guy who was deeply involved in depopulation, the Rockefellers, who wants a world government like they all do. Magically all care about the climate? Don't you find that just a tiny bit suspicious that all these guys with, and by the way, they're flying everywhere in private jets, gigantic hypocrites, but isn't that sending off alarm bells for every, I mean, I know this audience is going, yeah, we see it. We get it 100%. But the general public dum-dums out there are like, hey man, what's it going to take to wake you up to the fact that Bill Gates is not your friend? Like, well, I got a Windows operating system. Congratulations. But this is a real thing. And so ask yourself the question, why do the ultra rich care about the climate? It's just something to consider. And but there is kind of a funny side to this. It's not a funny ha-ha, but it's funny like, look at the incompetence going on here. And that is when they're trying to blend multiple agendas into one, and you feel like it's very clunky, and they're like, and you, halfway through their explanation, you realize like, oh, this is a very unserious person. When they're talking about, you know, like climate change is such a huge threat, and you're like, okay, and they're like, yeah, and it's affecting all kinds of people all over, you know, ocean sea level rise and water temperatures, and okay, yeah, and then they put out a story. And this is a real story about how climate change and the changing weather surrounding climate change has become a real problem for Indonesian trans sex workers. And you go, what the fuck are you talking about? Climate change is impacting Indonesian trans sex workers? Oh, why didn't you say so from the beginning? I mean, shit, Negro, that's all you had to say, right? I mean, Indonesian trans sex workers, we've got to save them immediately. But you see this headline, you go, are you kidding me? Is this real? And the answer is, yeah, it's real. It's a real article that's been written. And there's a person out there, just barely hanging on as a person, out there trying to write this article. And they're like, how can I tie climate change to the issues that we've been seeing here in Indonesia? Like, if you have to stoop to that level to make the connection, there's no connection. Of course, we know there's no connection. But it's kind of funny to watch them try to make it when they're like climate change is disproportionately impacting Black Americans more, and you're like, how are you coming to this calculation? Show me on the chart. Here's a dry erase board. Work out the math for me and explain to me how climate change is disproportionately impacting Black people, please take all the time that you need. If you need multiple erase boards, we can make that happen. But it's bullshit. It's total nonsense. It's fake. It's totally made up, of course. So expect more of this. I mean, I kind of actually hope, really, I think that one of the best solutions to this problem is that they continue to talk about it in such cartoonish ways. Because then at some point, everyone's going to go, bro, I mean, the Indonesian trans sex worker climate change story was the thing. I just went, this is all total nonsense, right? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. But here's the thing. Here we ask kind of why these ultra wealthy globalist scumbags would care about the environment. They don't. They don't care about the environment. When you buy a $500 million yacht that pollutes as much as an entire city, you don't care about the climate. This is just talking points. But I'll tell you where they're going with this. And it's not my opinion that this is where they're going with it. They write about it. They talk about it. This is where it's going. It's not the only place it's going, but it is definitely one of the more lucrative components, and that's the carbon taxes. Now, I cannot even tell you how many times I've done episodes on the carbon tax hustle and this whole thing, this whole scam, this whole game. It is going to make central banking look like peanuts compared to this, right? When you start talking about taxing the nations of the world because of, taxing nations of the world because of their carbon output, and then using that money and putting it in your pocket. I mean, what a scam. Like, you almost have to stand in awe and appreciation of the audacity of this climate scam. But it's 100% a scam, and it has to do with carbon credits and carbon offsets and creating this entire marketplace for, like, futures. And it's when you go to Vegas and you walk through the casino and you see that there's blackjack and there's craps and there's all kinds of these casino games, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's PiGal, right? There's PiGal, and you're like, well, what is PiGal? I don't know. What it is it's another revenue stream for the casino. It's another game at the casino that they can make money from. So when you ask about carbon taxes, it's just another revenue stream. It's another marketplace that they can manipulate. It's another source of funding that the banks can tap into. It's another place that they can rig. It's just starting. A carbon marketplace in Illinois called the Chicago Climate Exchange was started in 2003. It shut down, I think, in 2010, but it's poised to come back. Obama was behind this. This is this is where it's going, right? There's going to be a lot of money. So as an example of carbon, like what a carbon offset marketplace would look like, let's say that we're going to make numbers up here, but let's say you're a corporation and you get 100 units of carbon that you're allowed to produce every year. And one year you produce 120 units of carbon, and you need to account for that 20% overage that you had. Say there's another company out there that gets also allocated 100 units of carbon per year, but they only use 80. They could maybe roll that over. Let's say that the legislation is such that they could roll that over and keep it as a 20 unit credit going into next year. So if they produce 120 units the following year, they'll still be covered. Or maybe they just know that they're never going to produce more than 80, and they just keep stockpiling all these credits. Well, then they're worth something. So you can sell them on a marketplace. You can sell that buffer that you've got, that extra 20 units that you've got. Maybe you want to sell it to that guy who needs 20 extra units, and they create a marketplace for this. And then the banks stand in the middle and they take a cut and rig it, of course, because that's what they do with marketplaces. So this is just a new game at the casino. This is the PiGal of climate change, right? Or something. Fuck, I should name it the episode this. But ultimately it gets back to trust the science, shut up and obey, you know, all that good stuff. So I mentioned that I was going to talk about a new player in this, and I will. You know about that wooden Indian John Kerry who had to jerk off in a coffin to become a member of Skull and Bones? Well, his daughter, let's just say his daughter got her father's good looks. Yikes. Vanessa Kerry. And I don't mean to, I don't mean to shit on somebody's appearance, but I'm willing to make a special exemption in the case of Vanessa Kerry, because what she is trying to do is destroy the planet. So I don't have too much of a problem saying that she looks like a horse, because she does. She came out of Phillips Academy, Andover. She went to Yale University, studied biology. Didn't her old man go to Yale? Oh yeah, he was Skull and Bones there. She went to Harvard Medical School. She went to London School of Economics. Jesus Christ. I mean, the only thing left would be to go to Johns Hopkins. It's the only deep state university left on that. You've got Harvard Medical School, Yale, London School of Economics. So Fabian Socialist, huh? Okay, we got that going for us, which means she's a destroyer, which we know. She is, if you've got your deep state checklist next to you, and if you don't, how dare you? She's Council on Foreign Relations. She's World Economic Forum. She's World Economic Forum Young Global Leader. She's Aspen Institute. She's a member of the Rockefellers. She's tied in with the Rockefeller New World Order Club. And she's the professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. She's as deep state as you can get, right? You come out of London School of Economics, your UK deep state. So that's Rockefeller Foundation, Michael Chertoff connected, Hewlett Foundation, Fabian Socialist Roundtable. You know, it's a bad place. It's not great. George Soros came out of London School of Economics. You know what I mean? So if you're a destroyer of worlds, then you probably have that on your resume. And of course she does. And let's talk a little bit about her relationships, because you know who Bill Gates is, and you know that, you know, he's got a credibility problem for a variety of reasons. Not the least is his Epstein connections, but I digress. They need somebody new. They need somebody new, but preferably female too. They love to use children as shields, as we saw with Greta, or they took the babies in from the incubator, or the 12-year-old girl that led off the 1992 COP summit. I forget her name, but same thing. You know, like, this planet is going away. They're trying to kill. You know, they love to have young women that come in and tug at your heartstrings and make you think that. Do it for the children. And how dare, you know, these kids would never be lying. How dare you accuse them of being part of some propaganda campaign? They're always part of a propaganda campaign. The babies in the incubator girl was the Kuwaiti ambassador to the US's daughter. And she was coached by Hill and Knowlton, one of the largest public relations firms in the world, to read that speech where she said that they came into the hospital in Kuwait and they took the babies out of the incubator and left them to die on the cold, hard floor. All of that was a lie, 100% a lie, right? So they don't have a problem using children to lie. We've watched this with the climate component with Greta, but Greta's come to her useful existence. I think she's breaking programming. They might need to MK Ultra her another time to get her back on track or whatever, but they've moved on, and Greta can be a mascot if you'd like, but you're going to need somebody to really get the work done. And that's somebody that is qualified for the task. And when I say qualified, I mean, you know, intelligent, connected, able to operate in these circles, not worried about prison, humanity, killing people, destroying the world. You can't have any of those hangups. If you're going to get stuff done, you need to be a straight up killer. And Vanessa Carey's background leads me to believe that she has been groomed for this position. I'm not at all surprised, of course, with John Kerry. So let's talk a little bit about what Vanessa Carey has been doing, shall we? She worked as an intern with Bill Gates' Gavi doing vaccines in Ghana, right? So, I mean, I'm depopulation, right? That's what, when you're working with vaccines in Ghana for Bill Gates' Gavi, I feel very comfortable saying you were involved in depopulation. And the reason why I feel comfortable saying that is because the Gates Foundation and Gavi has been busted putting sterilants in the tetanus vaccines in Kenya, okay? So please forgive me if I jump to the conclusion that they're probably putting sterilants in the vaccines that they're giving out in Ghana as well. I mean, it sounds reasonable. She's involved with a company called Partners in Health. Now, this is a dangerous group. Okay. Partners in Health. Hey, listen, it's got the nice sounding name, right? It sounds like you're going to take, like, a pediatrician. Like, oh, I'm going to take my kids to the pediatrician. What's it called? Partners in Health. Oh, where is it? Oh, it's down off Main Street. Yeah. You don't want to take them to this one. This one was started in Haiti. It's financed by the Gates Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, Open Society, which is George Soros. I'm frankly a little disappointed that Satan didn't get in on this seed financing round as well. He must have been busy, but all the devils are here, you know, with this group. She worked with this group, Partners in Health, during her Gavi vaccine depopulation operation in Africa, in order to really sort of earn her. Oh, I'd call it like climate change / depopulation bones, right?
this is how you do it. You know, how you become a made man in the Italian mafia. You gotta, you know, you gotta complete a side mission, right? I think that Vanessa Carey's side mission while in Africa was getting involved with Partners in Health and the backings from Bill Gates, the Ford Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, Open Society, George Soros, these groups. Again, when these groups are in Africa, they're in Africa for a reason. They're in Africa to depopulate. And when you're working with a group called Partners in Health, who's financed by the group that it's financed by, and you hire somebody like Vanessa Carey to work for you, it's not great. Okay. You're headed into a path where, beyond these think tanks that were financing Partners in Health, they brought in some other people to help out, not necessarily investors per se. Some of them, I guess, were, but more partners. Hey, listen, they're Partners in Health, for God's sake. I mean, you got to have partners, right? So who did they bring? Who are your partners that are bringing in for such good health? Chelsea Clinton, Barbara Bush. Fuck, maybe Satan was available. I mean, Aleister Crowley's daughter, Barbara Bush, USAID, which is Samantha Power, the regime change arm of the United States government. The World Health Organization, right on schedule, of course, you would expect them. And also Merck Pharmaceutical, right? So, and you know what's interesting about Partners in Health? You know what? They were first on the scene in the United States. They weren't limited to Africa. They did something in the United States. They were the first group in the United States to provide COVID contact tracing, right? First to market in the contact tracing for COVID is amazing, man. That shows that, like, you must have really had good luck knowing that COVID was just around the corner. I mean, boy, who could have seen that coming except maybe the Gates Foundation, Ford Foundation, Clinton Foundation, and George Soros. I wonder why you guys were first to market with contact tracing on COVID. I mean, maybe because it was on their calendar, but I digress. Dr. Vanessa Carey, she's a doctor, of course, because like I said, she's a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Well, guess what her new title is? This is the reason why you need to pay attention to her, because yes, she's got this resume, but this is what has just happened here. Vanessa Carey is now at the World Health Organization, and alarm bells should be going off like crazy. She is the Director General, Special Envoy for Climate and Health. There you go. Climate and health. We're now tying these together. Climate change and health. Climate change and vaccines. Climate change and depopulation. Here you go. This is it. This is who's running it. This is where it's going from here. Dr. Vanessa Carey is going to be in charge of it. You're going to hear her name a lot from this point forward. You're going to see her face and go, oh shit, he wasn't kidding. Unfortunate face. She's ugly like a horse. Face like a horse. And what they're doing, what she's doing, is she is amplifying the World Health Organization's climate and health messaging on urgency. Okay. So they're working behind the scenes on all the climate change nonsense and all the vaccines and the depopulation. She's not in the lab. That's not her job. She's not in there tinkering with making the next virus 100 times more deadly. That's not what she's doing. Her job is to push the agenda. She's a politician, essentially. I mean, she comes out of a politician family, and she's very well connected. They need to leverage that. They need to leverage her connections to this and put her out front and center. She's going to be the face of this. Yikes. But she's going to be the face of this agenda. And it's because she's smart. She's well connected, and she does understand science, and nobody's going to question her credentials, and they're going to know who her father is. So she's going to get meetings that nobody else could get. I mean, she's a player here. She's going to talk to the general public about authoritative sources of information. Okay. That's going to be her real mission here. Is she is going to be in charge of making sure that you're not talking about the truth.
Right. They're going to demonize that. That's conspiracy theory. That's junk science. It's nonsense. It's tinfoil hat wearing people that don't know any better. And they're trying to confuse you. What you need to do is you need to make sure that you come and find authoritative sources of information, like the World Health Organization. We're going to be the ones to give you the news. Remember when the Mika Brzezinski was like, you know, you can't challenge the media narrative, you know, like that's our job. You know, our job is to tell you how to think, you know, that's what the World Health Organization's job is now, is to tell you how to think. Now it's a very important time too, because the World Health Organization has now positioned itself in a way so that it dictates to the countries what the policy is during pandemics, and that they are in a supranational position. They are above the nation states, and that they will be the ones that will dictate policies top down. So let's envision a scenario in which there's a deadly pandemic, right? Another one, right? And the World Health Organization plays that card. They say, sorry, but you know, like and all those cop movies, like the FBI rolls on the scene. They're like, "We're in charge now. Get out of here, local cops." You know, that'll be the World Health Organization. Like, "We're in charge now. Get out of here, local nations. We're the ones in charge now. We want you to hear from our spokesperson, Dr. Vanessa Carey. She's going to tell you how things are going to go down from here. That's who's going to be driving this." Okay, so she's going to be talking about these sources of information. She's going to say there's a lot of information floating around out there on social media. We need the social media platforms to take down this information. We need you to know that the only source of true information is from us. Like Jacinda Ardern said, in if you don't hear it from us, then it's not the truth. The only source of truth is from us, as she's all coked up out of her mind. So this is the direction it's going to go. She's going to be in charge of recruiting prominent personalities. They say that in there. They say that that's one of her jobs, is that she's going to be tasked with recruiting prominent personalities. Now, again, you recruit prominent personalities when you are running a public relations campaign, not when you're running an actual science, an actual pandemic where people are dropping dead all over the place. You don't need prominent personalities. You don't need Matthew McConaughey to talk you into a vaccine when everybody in your town is dropping dead from some virus, right? You know, that person is going to be motivated to get the solution no matter what, right? They're going to see it. It'll be self-evident. But you bring in prominent personalities when you're selling bullshit. When you're trying to convince people to buy something that they don't need or don't want, or something that isn't truthful, this is advertising. You bring in prominent personalities to advertise climate change. And you need to advertise climate change because it's not real and you'll never be able to see it. It's immeasurable. So this is the direction that they're pushing this. They're going to also, her job is going to be to conflate climate change with any serious weather event happening in the world for any reason. Everything is going to be climate change now. Had a summer that was hot, must be climate change, global warming. Had a winter that was cold, must be climate change, global cooling. Must be, it's the perfect terminology, right? Because they used to call it global warming, and then the numbers kind of went down and they're like, oh, we can't sell global warming if it's cooling. So then they just say, well, we'll call it climate change and then we're covered if it goes up or down. It's an androgynous statement, much like John Kerry's daughter. Okay, I'm going to get off of making fun of her physical appearance. She's horrible to look at. I'm just saying. And of course, this is kind of the giveaway. Whenever you read their perspective, I don't know how I would describe it. When you read their documents, and I read a lot of documents that these people put out there, There are certain terms that when you read them, they're not even sciencey terms. It's not like some hard to pronounce word, but there's certain terms that you read and you go, oh, I know what that means. That's like a code for what I'm about to say is the dumbest shit you've ever heard in your life, right? Well, it's like whenever I read the word intersectionality, I know I'm just about to read the dumbest statement I've ever read, right? Where they talk about the intersectionality of climate change and health. Okay, that's their focus. When they start talking about climate change and health, you understand the plan. So let's continue on this. Depopulation is really sort of in Dr. Carey's blood. She's involved with something called Seed Global Health. And Seed Global Health, what they do is, she's the founder and CEO of this. It's a nonprofit, right? So, because she's just a do-gooder. She doesn't care about money. She's saving the world. You know, she's a they're all nonprofits, except the money seems to go somewhere. And what they do at this Seed Global Health is training and educating, air quotes on educating, 34,000 doctors and nurses across 7 countries in such areas as maternal childbirth, infectious diseases, and climate change and health. Okay, so they're really concerned about childbirth, the lead up to childbirth, maternal care, and things of those natures. And what you notice when you take a look, you go, okay, well, you're taking care of mothers and children, infectious diseases, and you care about climate change and health. Like, on the surface, who could argue with wanting to improve those things? Well, on the surface, yeah. But when Dr. Carey is involved and she is a globalist at her core and a depopulationist on top of that, of course, I get very uncomfortable when I hear her talking about educating doctors and nurses about maternal things and childbirth, because to me, that is automatic vaccinations. That's get on board with the vaccine schedule. That's do all that stuff, right? And then, of course, number 2 on the list is infectious diseases. And then now we're in vaccine category as well, infectious diseases. And then climate change and health, the ambiguous, androgynous climate change, right? That can be anything and everything all at the same time. But it's definitely coming to kill you unless you give us more money to fix the weather. So one of the things you notice when you look at the Seed Global Health is you go to their board of directors. I always go to the board of directors. I say, who is sitting on the board? Do I know any of these names? The answer is no, I don't know any of these names. And the reason why I don't know any of the names of the people on the board of directors is because they're all from Uganda. Like, everyone there almost is from Uganda. And so you go, okay, well, let me take a look through their backgrounds. What's going on in Uganda? I mean, besides a future depopulation outbreak, probably a cholera epidemic at some point that they will manage. But again, climate and health manager. I go, oh, who's the climate and health manager? This ought to be good. Martina, I'm going to butcher all these names, by the way, so because my Ugandan is not up to snuff. Tehwali Wallo, okay. What's her background? She's in charge of climate and health manager for this company that Dr. Carey has founded. It's a nonprofit, right? So you know they're up to only good things. Well, what's her background? Well, her background is she worked for the World Health Organization on COVID and went to Harvard Public Health and worked in the UK government. You go, okay. Hang on a second. That's not great. But continue. Please continue. Who else is there? Well, let's look at this. The chief operating officer. Surely he's got to be better, right? Andrew Musoki, Uganda, of course. I don't know what I'm looking for in their backgrounds that is going to jump out at me until I see it. And when you see it, then you know. If you've been doing this as long as I have, you go, what does he do? You go, what was he doing last? AIDS development, Uganda. Okay, now we're talking. Where was he before that? Clinton Health Initiative. And before that, Uganda Ministry Health, specializing in vaccines. I smell a depopulation company. I smell a depopulation outfit going here. What about the clinical advisor, Brian Agaba? Well, what was he doing before? Well, he worked at the pregnancy center in Uganda. Okay. And what else did he do? Well, he was a clinical advisor who worked on anthrax, Ebola, and COVID. I'm sure anthrax, Ebola, and COVID have nothing in common, right? Wink, wink. Holy shit, right? So this is where we're getting, you know, these are the people that we're getting. We got a special advisor. His name is Bonaventure. It's a great first name. Bonaventure Naga work here anymore, from Uganda. Worked for the United Nations with refugees. Again, I want to be serious here for just a second. There's some code words that you need to know. There's some terminology that just, when you hear it in the future, just understand that it means something different than what you probably think it means. When these groups start talking about refugees and they start talking about moving large groups of people from one place to another, like from one country to another, or from one camp to another, or from one region to another, that is always code for depopulation. Okay. Just so you know, when you get resettled in the East, you're being taken somewhere for a purpose. The area that you leave forgets about them to the extent that they can't. They just don't see them. They never see them again, right? We had to move them from here to there. You make the assumption that they got to there in one piece. That's not what's going on. It's depopulation. So again, when you start to find people that have backgrounds working with refugees, you go, oh, that's a great thing, right? You're working, helping refugees. Not when you're working with the United Nations, not when you're working with USAID, not when you're working with anything having to do with John Kerry or his people or the United Nations. When you start talking about refugees, that means something different. Okay, just so that we're on the, you know, because when I see Mr. Bonaventure here, who worked for the UN with refugees and worked for the Peace Corps, alarm bells start going off for me. Worked for the government of Uganda on equity. You know how much they love equity in Uganda, right? They're just about as equal as you can get. And he worked, and not to be outdone, he worked on the Uganda National COVID-19 Task Force, right? So there's that guy. So you can tell what's necessary in order to get on the board of directors of Seed Global Health is that you have to have a background in working with either the Peace Corps. We see this a lot. Peace Corps, the United Nations, Clinton Group, World Health Organization, or something having to do with AIDS. County Director Irene Atuhare from Uganda and the Peace Corps. Exactly. Kind of just as I said, maintained relationship with what they call stakeholders. Again, this is my bullshit detector goes off like crazy when I start reading terms like stakeholders, right? When you hear stakeholders, then you know that you're dealing with nonsense. That's like intersectionality. Okay. When you hear that, you know you're about to get some climate woo-woo fake words, which is code for something else. So he was at Irene was at the Ministry of Health. She worked for the Ministry of Education. She worked on the AIDS treatment program. Again, here we go. Worked at Catholic Church facilities and used her AIDS program at Catholic Church. I mean, red lights should be flashing like crazy, right? Last one we'll mention here, Director of Advocacy and Media for Seed Global Health, Dr. Carey's company that she is the founder and CEO of Seed Global Health. This guy, the Director of Advocacy and Media, Tom Fairchild, he's a Brit. He worked on doing propaganda on climate change. He worked on overcoming vaccine hesitancies in countries across Africa, depopulation. He pushed the malaria vaccine, depopulation. He worked on COVID. He advised secretaries of state. He pushed the NHS and COVID vaccines. That was his job. These people are all depopulationists, okay? Just so we're clear. So when it comes to Vanessa Carey, when it comes to the people with the companies that she's starting, the money she's taking from these, this is at their core, they want depopulation. And they're going to use the banner of climate change as, as the cover story to get you in here. I want you to hear a quote. I want you to listen to this deranged lunatic from the Club of Rome. By the way, this isn't like the book that I read earlier from the Club of Rome that was from 1972. This is from 2021. Right. So it's just a couple years ago. This is from a guy named Graham Maxton. He's the former Secretary General of the Club of Rome. So this isn't the guy that sweeps up the floors. This is the former Secretary General. This is what he said. Again, listen to what these people say. They will tell you the plan. This is it. If today's political leaders are unable to do what is needed, then the options become harder still. Either nothing happens and climate change becomes unstoppable, ruining the lives of billions, or the existing political leadership will need to be replaced, either through the electoral process or in some less democratic way. One alternative would be for a technocratic government to be appointed to do what is needed, to force an economic transition, and then step down when the job is done. But this assumes that humanity can develop the mechanisms to make such an exceptional change in governance happen. That is, and that it possesses enough people of intellect and courage to manage the transition. Let's recap that statement, because there's a lot to unpack here. If today's politicians are unwilling or unable to do what we need them to do on climate change, we're either going to vote them out or murder them. When I hear less democratic means, and it's somebody from the Club of Rome, I assume their airplanes blow up. Maybe less democratic means that they threaten them instead. Who cares? Whatever. Threaten them, kill them, kidnap their family, steal all the money out of their bank account, blow up their airplane, whatever. Doesn't matter. They'll find a way. One alternative, the alternative that they want, it's not just one alternative. This is, you know, we've got to figure this out. Well, you know, one thing we could maybe sort of possibly do, I don't know if you guys are interested in this, is that we create a technocratic government that comes in and fixes all this. AI. You know, then appointed to do what is needed. Is it voted on? No. Is it agreed upon? No. It's just what's needed. It's what the Club of Rome thinks is needed. By the way, the Club of Rome, who wrote The Limits to Growth, who talked about how climate change was fake and that they need anything that they could possibly do in order to get everyone together and march into a world government. Okay, so this is the same group. It's talking about fake climate change, creating fake climate change as a world government. The guy who was running it now, not 50 years ago in 1972 when the book was written, but now he's saying that we need a technocratic government to be appointed. And then, you know, and then they'll step down when the job is done. Really, really? You're just going to appoint a technocratic government that's just going to magically step down? That is incredibly naive, if not just a straight up bold-faced lie. So he wonders if we have enough people of intellect and courage to manage it. This is the way they always frame this. They're noblemen coming in out of the goodness of their heart because they have the courage to make the decisions that are very tough, that need to be made, but it's what's best for humanity. And if what's best for humanity is that 7 out of 8 people need to die, then we're going to make the tough decisions. And I possess the intellect and the courage to make those decisions. They're always patting themselves on the back for how much courage they have. They don't have courage. This isn't courage. This is about mass murder. This is about them advocating for mass murder. It doesn't require courage. It requires psychopathy, right? This is what we're talking about here. So, excuse me. They want you to thank them for sending in the robots to kill everybody. Hey, listen, the robots had to come out and kill everybody. We had to make these hard decisions. Where is my attaboy for a job well done? I mean, I took a lot of courage and intellect for me to make this the tough decisions that all you poor bastards out there had to die. But I was willing to do it because I'm brave and I'm full of courage. I mean, oh God. I told you I would mention the giveaway also that these people, there's sort of a tell. There's a real big time. I mean, the whole story is of climate change is fake, but there is a there's a tell. There's a component of this that you can have a conversation with your normie friends or your family, and you can ask them this one question and see if they can give you a good answer to this. How come the politicians and the climate czars and the media and all these scientists and everybody are only worried about one type of climate change, anthropogenic climate change, which translates to man-made climate change? Why is it, if they're so concerned with saving the world from carbon dioxide and climate change in the atmosphere, why aren't they tackling the biggest source of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is Mother Nature itself? Why aren't you stopping the underwater volcanoes that account for like 75% of all volcanic activity? Why aren't you putting a big giant cork in those Icelandic volcanoes with the names you can't pronounce? Because it's not about that. Because it's not about carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. If it was, they couldn't do anything about it anyway. Man-made carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is a small fraction of a percentage, right? What they care about is only anthropogenic climate change, only man-made carbon dioxide. And the reason for that is that all of these dangers are caused by human intervention. And it is only through change attitudes and behaviors that they can be overcome. You can't change the behavior of an Icelandic volcano, but you can change the behavior of people that are having to live in these countries that are ruled by these lunatics. I mean, just to, you know, you have to get honest with what this is and what it isn't. They're not trying to manage carbon dioxide outputs worldwide because they care about the environment. They're trying to manage you. You, as they say, you are the carbon that they are trying to remove. And, you know, if you listen to them, they'll tell you the real enemy is humanity itself. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You want to connect with me? Macroaggressions.io is the new website. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.